Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, One Night in Pinehurst. We have Maddie, Alex, the Billy Boys are back in town. Fantastic show last week. We learned a lot from Sasha and Blue Ship Aerospace. That was fantastic. A budding relationship with a new merchandise provider. So you'll meet Nate on the show next week. So really excited to meet Nate and have him on. And we haven't had a chance, Al and Maddie, to recap what happened at Pauly's Island. We did our annual golf trip. Your two cents.
Well, one team won the weekend, and then one team won everything else that went into the weekend. So it's kind of like, if you think about it, if you itemize the trip, one team barely won the tournament, and then the other team won every other element of the trip. Outfits, gear, rides, everything, we did all right. And if there's any justice, we would have been the winning team because we just checked all the right boxes, but I've convinced myself that we won, as you can see here.
I think everyone won.
Yeah, that's really it. That's really it. It was one of our better trips. And you guys are cooking up some real special stuff for the next one. So it's only going to get better from here.
Continue. Yeah, there's big announcements coming here. And I agree. I think it was one of the better trips. I know that was only my third, but I think from a golf perspective, some real, real nice golf spots that we hit. I think that more dignity was left in Charleston than in Pauly's Island. So that's how
we wallets, dignity. Yeah.
So just to touch on a couple of those topics that Maddie threw out, I was on a separate team than Alex and Maddie. And I was one person on True Blue on Friday that was not dressed like the Ukrainian men's gymnastics team arriving to the golf course.
You could have used it on Saturday because Juice was not pleased with you. Juice,
did you play golf on Saturday?
I don't think you played any golf on Saturday. Do you remember any of the holes?
Oh, so I no. I don't remember the first 15. I was blaming everything and Juice was mad. And so we were out of it playing match play with partners. We were out of it at the 15th hole. And then we decided, okay, let's do a scramble for the rest. And I was probably shooting about 110 going into the 16th hole, and that might be generous. I proceeded on 16, par 4, that I think was the number one handicap on the course, to birdie on my own. We didn't use a single one of Juice's shots.
Of course.
And then I backed that up with a birdie on 17.
Which makes him even more mad at you because it didn't matter
at all. I'm pretty sure he's down in the sand trap at Caledonia right now, just screaming your name.
Yeah, he is.
I was laughing. I was laughing as I was teeing off.
There's only really one way to lose Juice, and it's if you blame everything but yourself when you're playing bad golf.
I was blaming myself. But
okay, that's good. That's smart.
I was blaming everything, including myself.
Yeah, it couldn't be anything outside of your universe. That wouldn't make any sense.
No, I didn't blame Juice. I think I might have at one point, but I don't think he liked
that. We'll ask him. We'll get to the bottom of that.
If we were going to look back and give some superlatives here, who do you think? I mean, it's clearly going to be Juice, right, from the MVP of the trip, just how he played, Mr. Consistent. Who do you think is going to be number two that played above their handicap? Put it that way.
It's a good question. Yeah, Juice was like painfully consistent all weekend. He didn't leave us any gaps. And it was the difference. I think you guys won by what, like a half a point?
I think it was a point or a half point. But I think Jim got a lot of attention early on in the trip. New addition, so not
lost to Tarbell though on Sunday, and even though it didn't really matter, that's tough. You know, that's a rivalry match. That's almost like losing twice. Like you lost to Tarbell what, like five times?
We only played each other four times, but twice, and I had to.
There was a point. I don't remember what day it was. I want to say it was probably Saturday, and we were all waiting for you guys to finish, and I'm watching you guys come up the fairway. Maybe it wasn't on 18 because you had played well, so it might have been a different day. It might have been Friday. And I'm watching you guys come up the fairway, and you're just – like, I can see you from 300 yards away, your body language. You are just crushed. You've played bad golf.
Oh, that was Thursday.
You played bad golf. Tarbell was just all over you. It was like – you took, like, four losses. So – good on you for coming back on Saturday and putting a few birdies on the card, because Tarbell was all over you for four consecutive days.
On the first day, Alex and Tarbell were teamed up, and not to go too deep. I know this isn't what all of our listeners want, but it's what some of our listeners want.
They'll like it.
So we're going to play to it. But after Rick and I were disposed by Alex and Tarbell, and I couldn't hit the ball in the air for like four holes.
Alex, I think we had you guys beat by the 13th hole.
I think it was close.
You got boated. You got boated bad.
But Alex decided to like drive over my ball consistently.
He did you a favor.
I don't think this is
lift clean place unless somebody runs your ball over.
Make friends and influence people. Dale Carnegie golf here, Alex. it was an absolute blast. Alex and I are thrilled to be the captains for this upcoming year, and things are getting pretty close to getting wrapped up. So
it's spicy.
I'd love to take some credit here, but having a temporarily unemployed co-captain has been the biggest joy of my life.
He's been my co-captain for 68 episodes, so I know exactly and he's doing it all.
Is this number 69?
I have to go back and look. I think it might be number 69, which is pretty fitting that we're sharing this time together.
Okay, let's get on the rails a little bit. Nope. So we're going to talk a little bit about NFL draft. Alex has not delivered his picks for tight end, but he has done his homework. He's ready to roll. He's going to have his wide receivers, his running back, his quarterback, and tight end all scoped out by the end of this episode. We'll share that on the blog as well. We want to touch on a little bit of like match play format this weekend. We saw at the WGC. Baseball starts tomorrow, or probably by the time you're listening. We'll give our thoughts on MLB, but really, and then we've got a few little fun tickets. Is that what you call them, Maddie?
Fun coupons.
For the NFL draft.
Yeah, fun coupes.
Fun coupons. Okay. Yeah. So match play. You were watching. You were texting throughout the WGC.
Yeah.
What did you take away?
I liked it. So my takeaway is that they being the PGA Tour, do not currently have this event scheduled for next year. And I think we all agreed that match play it's the most fun golf you can watch outside of a major. There's not a tournament outside of, honestly, I wouldn't even say that. I'd rather watch match play than anything, but probably the Masters. And I think it might be number two for me behind it. The British Open, I get it. Pomp and circumstance. US Open, fine. The players, whatever. So I think that the PGA Tour needs to absolutely find a way. I think what will happen is there'll be an event that is currently not one of the designated events that steps up to say, hey, we will be one if you like give us the points that go with it for match play. That being said, I think it is a good indicator of if guys are in form enough for the Masters, since that's obviously coming up. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was like mostly chalk. I think the final four was, all four of those guys were ranked in the top 15 of the world. So, that makes sense.
No surprises there.
No surprises there. I think the guys who didn't make it, like Scheffler and, Rory and others, are all playing good golf. I think we've got a situation where the Masters is going to be pretty heavily contested. I slid some fun bucks on Cam Young to win the Masters early for a little futures bet. I just really like his game. Augusta caters to guys that play shots like he does. But the match play is fun. I wish they would continue to do it. I mean, it's a lot of golf. I mean, those guys play. It's six. If you win the whole thing, Sam Burns played six different whole rounds of golf, essentially, in 4 days is what it comes out to. It might even be more. So I hope they bring it back. It's a lot of fun to watch.
I love that it incentivizes the guys to, you know, go out there and tin cup if they want to, right? Like, you're just going to lose one hole. You can bounce back. You don't have to worry about shooting a 13 on this hole. Just go for it.
That's what's fun about our trip too, right? Like there was a hole I was playing against Jim, the aforementioned Jim, and I literally hammered three straight drivers directly 20 yards in front of me into the water off of the tee. Played the hole. I was out of the hole, right? Next hole, I stepped right up, hit driver again and piped one. And Jim was like, how? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not thinking. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's golf. So I think match, like to AB's point, match play is a lot of fun because you can just kind of like bail on a hole and it shows who has the resiliency to step right back up and like not get too far down. So match play is my preferred golf. I would watch it nonstop if they played it all the time.
Love it. So we've got NFL draft. We're a month away. Things are getting really tight here. We've had some trades, like Carolina traded up presumably to take Alex's quarterback, CJ Stroud. Maddie's in on two is the number one.
I have to go back and retroactively talk about something.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know that Bijan has his own Dijon?
Wow. No, he doesn't. You know what? I did know that. I saw that last year.
That is changing.
Because they do NIL now, name, image, and likeness. Yep. So these guys can get paid off of their name, and that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. Bijan's Dijon. So yeah, he's number one now.
is it a spicy brown or whatever?
Yep, kind of spicy brown, like a Grey Poupon.
I'm in. Let's get some shipped.
I love it. So tight ends. Daniel Jeremiah, my hero in terms of NFL draft analysis, other than Alex, hip coverage, has said this is the best tight end class in the last 10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
So I didn't want to, you know, have you drive through like the Sam Laportas of the world and, you know, guys that might go in the third or fourth round. But we've got Michael Mayer from Notre Dame.
John Mayer.
I know. I was trying to figure out a way to get John in there. Mayer from Notre Dame, Dalton Kincaid, and Darnell Washington out of Georgia.
One of Bud's guys.
So, Alex, you've done your research. You did your homework. I'd love to hear your takes on the guys.
Yeah, I also love how we're talking about like research and homework. I spent 5 minutes looking these guys up.
You've proven to this point that that's all it takes.
Yeah. So we're going to go reverse order on these guys, and we're going to start with number three, which is Michael Mayer.
Yep.
I hate to do it to Mayer, but he is
he's no good.
He's nothing flashy, right? He's going to be like a Mike Gesicki. He's going to be very block heavy. I don't think you're ever going to watch a game and see him be the hero of that game, but he's going to throw down really nice pass blocks. He's going to be part of the game plan, but I'm not into him. You know what I mean? Just not fit in my mold.
He doesn't have the explosiveness.
He's got hands like a snake. He's going to be inline blocking. He's going to be useless for fantasy. Gibby will fall in love with him if he ends up in Denver for some stupid reason. But otherwise, he's useless.
And he's going to be the guy that once he gets to the NFL, he grows his hair out under his helmet. And people are going to be
like that.
Yeah.
I'm even more in now.
Oh, man. If he slides, how many picks do the Broncos have left? Like two? What do they got?
They're just showing up. They're watching Sean Payton highlight films of all NFL draft.
Good start, AB. Good start.
You know what made this interesting is that my top two guys here are both Las Vegas guys. What are the chances that both of them are coming out of there? So number two, I'm going with Darnell Washington. And honestly, this is a size play. This guy is massive. I think I'm going to enjoy watching him. He threw up Gibby 21 reps in the bench press at the combine. By far the best performance of this group. I mean, Gibby, guys, just he's got a Rocky chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome. I honestly, his hands, his pass catching, his route running, he's going to be a problem with that size, but he's going to be fun to watch if he catches one and gets barreling down the field. And then that leads us to Dalton Kincaid, which sounds literally like, you know, the bouncer of some bad 80s movie, and the guy's face just
actually good. isn't that Swayze's first name in Roadhouse?
It is Dalton.
First name Dalton. Yeah. Perfect.
But it's a perfect two syllable last name as well that begins with K, so it just really lines into it. This guy's going to be a star. He's got hands. He's going to, like, a natural receiver. He's just going to be exciting to watch. This is going to be Kelce 2.0 here. I think just going to be fun.
What do you think about his major being business administration? That's a great major.
It is for all of us that didn't know what we wanted to do or breeze through school.
Yeah. I said it the other day.
To do.
I said it the other day. It should be the only major. Everybody should just learn finance and then you sort it out from there. You go your own way. All right. I love this. That's how I would rank them. I love that. I love everything about it.
So with all that being said, just to give our listeners one of those coupons. Currently on FanDuel, which is not, and everyone bet responsibly if you are betting. Irresponsibly.
Bet on FanDuel.
What's response? Yeah, it's all relative, right? Just exactly. You know, do your best. Do your best out there.
So not legal in Maine right now, but I did pull some FanDuel on.
Barely legal.
The first tight end taken, the odds are Mayer is minus 115.
Waste.
Don't spend your money there.
Don't do it.
Darnell Washington's plus 350. Someone might fall in love. It's not a bad number. But Swayze Kincaid is plus 170.
Wow. That's spicy.
And he is Jeremiah's number one.
I was just going to say, where's DJ got him? Okay.
DJ has him number one. So if you find plus 170, and I have always found that the NFL draft is a nice place once you've done enough research, even the 5 minutes Alex has done, to pick up a few bucks. So it's not as heavily, you know, bet on, and the odds makers aren't as in tune with what's going on. So
did they even look at Mayer's combine results or performance?
I think it's like there's some Hawkinson notes to him, right? Like, he has good hands. He can catch anything that's thrown at him. He's a really good blocker, run game blocker. But he's not going to, you know, have your 50-yard, you know, not out routes, but like vertical routes that you see with some of the guys. Like Kincaid's
the Gronk seam route more of your, right at the middle.
Yeah. He's going to be more of like your big slot that also can block to a degree.
Gibby, you spend any time on mock draft database, which basically like aggregates all mock drafts out there and gives you a consensus.
They got spent a lot of time.
Yeah, I figured Mayer's at 15 to Green Bay and Kincaid's at 21 to the Chargers, which is actually a real nice spot. And I've seen them mock to a lot of tight ends. So we got a shot there. I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good, what'd you say? It was plus 170 for Kincaid.
Plus 170.
Are we riding? I think it's in play. Yeah. Let's do it for AB. Let's do it for America.
Yeah. So that's one to jump on. Now that you mentioned the Chargers at 21, and Alex mentioned Bijan before, Austin Eckler is looking to get paid. He doesn't necessarily want to leave town, but he might. They're not going to trade him, obviously, in division or probably even in conference.
No.
But And teams aren't going to pay the premium for running backs, et cetera.
No.
I would not be shocked to see Bijan go 21 to the Chargers. So it's kind of a plug and play. You get not a similar player. They have different styles. Bijan's more, I wouldn't say power running back, but more of a prototypical running back who's also an amazing pass catcher too. Like, you know, he's so Chargers. Yeah.
Like that.
To Bijan, that match. And that can be tough to do, but when there's enough, you know, smoke, there's fire, is plus 600, which I enjoy. And so, it's worth spending a few bucks on. Maybe you got those $5 odds and get some free bets out of it.
You have some odds up for that, for like who's getting drafted by which team right now? Because I have a Bijan take as well.
Okay, let's hear it.
The Commanders, I think at 16.
Yep.
They're either going to let Sam Howell, second year guy, unproven, win that job, or they're going to give it to Brissett, who's just a game manager.
Yep.
Ron Rivera is a dinosaur. He has no clue. He's in the McCarthy zone for like just establishing the run. He's trying not to get fired. He has no idea what he's doing. I've seen a lot of smoke around them taking him and just like feeding him and just having somebody manage the game so that he can win just enough games to keep his job, win like 8 or 9 games and keep his job. But I like the Eckler one too, because Eckler's in the last year of his deal. He's only making $6.5 million, so he's not going anywhere.
Yep.
But he's 28. He's going to be 29. And he's the type, the archetype of running back that is not going to last very long. He's the cliff is going to come pretty quickly. So I like that. That's a good call.
So the teams, so the Commanders, and you're right on that. They're +500. So they're the favorite right now for Bijan.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And the other one I kind of like, and you got to pay attention to the news, is are the Bengals at +900.
Yeah.
They're picking at 27. So we'd have to fall, or the Bengals would have to trade up. They have all their picks. They have all their picks next year. Mm-hmm. And there's a really good chance that Joe Mixon might not play football ever again.
He can be cut. He can be cut for pre-June 1, post-June 1, dead cap of like $5 million. It's not very much.
And then it's like you're not missing anything. They just lost, and I'm not going to bring up the Broncos today, but
well,
they
just lost P.
So I know. Yeah. They just lost P. Ryan too, who was their third down back.
Yeah, from Cincy. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So Williams isn't going to be ready. We talked about that. Javonte is not going to be ready to start the season. They're going to ease him in.
So
there's talk about them taking a running back somewhere. I'll leave you.
That's going to be like, minute. No. I think that's going to be third, fourth round. I think they're going to trade down. They have two early picks in the third round. They only have 5 total picks. They have 67, 68 back to back. I think they take whoever, they have circled at 67. They trade 68 down to like 80 or somewhere in that range, right? Not like a specific number, to pick up, the 80th pick and also 100, the 130th or something like that. So they end up with 6 or 7 total picks.
Okay.
I don't think there's going to be any fireworks. I think they decided like we need to fix the offensive line, and then we'll spend a boatload of money in free agency, and then we can't do this again. You can't keep spending in free agency. You need to stockpile
picks. I wanted to ask you this, and let's do this real quick because I'm just top of mind. What do you make of Peyton coming out talking about how he thinks Stidham is going to be a great quarterback and can lead? Like, do you think that that's real? Do you think he's like, do you think he'll just give him the job if he wins it? Like, what's your sense there?
No, Russ is going to have a job. If we see like what we saw last year by week 8, Stidham might have a shot at taking it over.
Tarbell, but if we get another season like that out of Rust, Tarbell is going to be all over you.
No, but I don't think, I really don't think it's up for like debate even. I think it's just saying like, okay, now we have someone that, as you have a 34-year-old quarterback, they're likely to miss 2 or 3 games a year.
Yeah.
Someone that is not going to be a sieve. And might be able to
you need a backup. You need a proper backup. I mean, the Niners just proved it, right? You gotta have a guy who can step in and play a little bit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. So I think it was more or less like just media glomming on.
Who asked that question? Yeah. That's enough Broncos talk. Who
it is, sorry.
It wasn't me and it wasn't AB, so you asked yourself.
I checked out.
This is like a precursor to the Millie Boys lineups. We're gonna build one week 1, and it's just let's like Gibby build some preseason lineups with Broncos, and then we just won't let them touch Eddie for the first quarter.
Oh, lots of Tim Patrick. But so a couple other bets that I really I just circled through cycled through this really quickly. First offensive lineman taken. There are only 2 options, I think.
Paris and Skoronski.
Yes, Paris is -150, and he's probably the most likely. Skoronski is +200, and he just seems like a match for the Bears. I think he's actually probably a better offensive lineman than Paris. I think Paris is the size and the left tackle and everything and what you have to pay them, but Skoronski might be a guard. He might be a tackle. He can do both things well. And I think +200 might not be a bad idea to throw a few bucks. And he seems to make sense at number 9, especially if there's a four quarterbacks in the first five picks or first seven picks.
Yep. Yeah, there's not a lot there because the rest of these guys, nowhere good. First defensive player is not. Wow, that's interesting. So it's definitely going to be Will Anderson. Okay. Things are starting to take shape.
I think it's very like Will Anderson. We keep seeing mock number three, right, to Arizona if they stay there. But there could be a team that moves into the top three to get one of the four quarterbacks. Like I would not. This is one of the few drafts I wouldn't be shocked to see the first four picks be quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's likely. You think? And the result of that is that other high quality. Like there's three cornerbacks in this draft that are probably going to be number one shutdown cornerbacks. And they're all going to slip down into the early teens. And Porter is plus 1,000. He's the third on FanDuel.
I think it's going to be Witherspoon or
Belichick's. Belichick's taking one of them. You can book that.
I think it's Witherspoon from Illinois. Or who's the Oregon?
Oregon. It's Gonzalez.
Gonzalez.
Yep.
I think it's one of those two. But I think if you want to throw a long shot, and it's not even a long shot because he would have been the number one pick if the Bears stayed there, is Jalen Carter. And Seattle seems to be in on him, and he's plus 800 for first defensive player.
Draft.
So
I don't know. That one's tough.
I mean, you need things to happen. You need Arizona to trade out number three, but Seattle's sitting there right at five. If they trade to seven, and Jalen Carter might be a better fit at five for Seattle than Willie Anderson. So I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea. I know he's had some off-field stuff, obviously, but you know, it seems like it's pretty much settled. I know he didn't have a great pro day either, but every time
AB's not taking him. Not if he doesn't. He showed up too fat to even do any of the workouts. AB, he skipped it.
Oh, he pulled a Jamal Charles.
Yeah, he pulled a Charles. So that's, I mean, it works out well for him. You know what?
Alex,
I just
heard me talking about Broncos, and
you know what?
Like,
I just, you know what?
He's
just
throwing flames my way.
You deserve it. Hey, this is our preseason. I just stumbled upon, because you put me down this rabbit hole. You can bet on like teams who they'll draft. The team that drafts X player.
Yep.
And the Texans are plus 450 for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And I feel like that's like a guarantee.
That makes sense too.
That might be a nice one to throw some stuff at. The Jahmyr Gibbs ones are pretty fun too, because the Bills and Bengals and Cowboys and Chiefs are all tied for the top spot.
Don't the Bills, they just drafted James Cook last year.
And they signed Harris.
Isn't he like 80% of Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah.
Like
you know what though? There's wrinkles coming because Dalvin, there's guys that are still going to get cut post June 1st. Yeah. Dalvin Cook's going to get cut. There's a lot of like upheaval this offseason. There's a ton of talent coming in. It's a pretty good draft class. There's a lot of guys who are getting older who are getting cut. These teams are going to look very interesting come next year. Like they're building a very specific way, but you're right. Why would you draft Gibbs when you have 80% of them already on the roster and you just signed the guy to work the goal line? So I don't think,
yeah,
but
I don't
to
know.
Your point earlier, like, though, Bengals might not be a bad spot.
Yeah, I agree. I love him as a player. I'm wondering where the fit is.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we went down a rabbit hole. Thanks for giving us some time there. AB, anything on the hips, on the tight ends?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kincaid's got to be the loosest. I mean, nothing against Washington, but when you're that size, you would have to have quite a team working on you to be flexible. So it's got to be Kincaid.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Baseball season starts in the morning. Any takes, anything, you know, we've got a pitch clock now, bigger bases, like.
Here, let me give you my best take of this season.
Yes.
How many games over under does Alex watch that doesn't just happen to be on in the background in a bar? I'm going to put it at 1.5.
I like that you went third person. Yeah. I take the under, honestly. So do you have to watch a whole game? You got to watch a whole game start to finish?
We'll call it a quality start, 6-plus innings.
Oh, I'm under with you too. I don't think I'll get there. But here's the thing. They did, you know, to Gibby's point, with the pitch clock and the bigger bases and all these other goofy things they did in spring training, they got the time of the games down to like 2 hours and 10 minutes or something crazy. So like maybe the numbers on the over, you accidentally back into a six innings of a game without even realizing it. Just happens so fast.
A
so
nice
maybe
105 Sunday game.
What's the over going off at? Plus 200?
Yeah, let's call it that.
All right. Well, I actually think I might. That's tough. I think you
I'm going to be a save plus hold guy. I feel like there are going to be a lot of like 7 through 9 that are going to be appealing when it's 2 to 1 or, you know, 12 to 13 or whatever it is. I think those are going to be kind of the fun ones where it's like, all right, let's get in for the last 6 outs.
It doesn't help that as fans of the Red Sox, we've got a team with the richest owners in the world who have put together a product that rivals basically the A's, who don't even have one real player on the team. It's like, what a travesty. Sell that thing. Sell that team. You got to be kidding me. There's no excuse. If you're in a sport with no salary cap, unlimited funds in this market, you can't punt seasons. You're not allowed to like cry poor and punt seasons. And that team might literally lose 100 games. They're going to be so bad.
Do you think it's just the fact that they, you know, won their championships and that had never happened in Boston? There was so much intrigue and excitement in the early 2000s. And then it's like, okay, well, we gave you guys what you wanted and now we can kind of check out.
No, there's a couple of very, I know exactly why this is happening, and it's a little bit of over-diversification. So the first culprit is LeBron. LeBron's taking some blame for this because of his Fenway Sports Group ties.
Oh.
Liverpool is their focus right now, and that's super expensive in the Premiership. Like, it's a big deal. And they just bought the Penguins. So they're just quite literally don't feel like spending any more money. And I think there's an element of, well, the Celtics are hot right now. The Bruins are the best team in hockey. The Patriots are always relevant. They're the fourth most important team now. And I think they know it. And they're kind of like, well, if you guys aren't going to watch them, we're not going to spend any money. It's not good. It's a disaster. They're going to have to do something. Hopefully they sell that team, to be honest. But yeah, I think it's a combo of they've overcommitted elsewhere. Now they just don't care.
So I know nothing about Major League Baseball right now, other than a few major Ohtani, Mike Trout, you know, but I couldn't pick out, you know, half the guys on the Red Sox in the lineup. But
Devers,
it did show itself in my fantasy draft. Not that anyone needs to know who I picked, or cares.
Wait, with our buddy from Congdon's,
yes, with Adam Leach, who I was just trying to do my best Maddie imitation the entire draft, picking on one person, being like, oh, I don't like that for you.
I like
buddy.
That move. Like, that's I like not that. A good pick. You just introduce a little bit of doubt, and it might be enough for somebody to hammer themselves into the ground.
They're picking, like, I don't even know, this guy from Texas, and I'm like, oh, I don't like him for you.
The key when you pull that move is you cannot respond when that person asks you why. When the initial response of, like, why, you just have to move on. You have to just bury it. It's the only way it works.
So
I'm proud of you.
So anyway. Well, we just gave anyone that listens through this entire episode thousands of dollars or thousands of points on their FanDuel bets or DraftKings.
We stand Millie boys all year long.
You know who the best tight end in this draft is in a loaded tight end draft class. Thank you, Alex. And you got mediocre baseball advice. Although I do appreciate it, Matty. You shed some light on what's going on with the Red Sox, and
it's not good. I'll tell you, Tarbell has even more passionate takes about it than I do. He quit on the Red Sox like 3-4 years ago, and he's very fired up. So we'll get him. We'll get his take when he comes back again.
Let's make it a point over the summer to bring baseball back to America. Yeah. It's America's pastime. I think we owe it to the listeners, and you know, so we'll take care of it. I think.
Yeah, I think it's on us. It's incumbent on us to do that. So, yeah, we'll take it. We'll own that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, everyone, good night. Alex, thank you. Maddie.
Thank you.
Make well done. Great again.
See ya.